Amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open your Bibles to Mark, the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter of Mark. And I'm going to, we're going to actually read from verse 35. This is a situation here in Mark chapter 5 that Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, had asked Jesus to come minister healing to his daughter, because it says his daughter was, my son's trying to call me, his daughter was sick and close to death. And so so on the way to the house, the one with the issue of blood stopped Jesus, and we all know the story where she was made whole. But right after that happened, it picks up here in verse 35, it says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. So Jesus spoke two dynamic words right there. First of all, he said, do not be afraid. Now you have to understand that one reason that we can't believe is because we're afraid. In order to believe, we have to get out of fear. And fear is something that grips us, you know, all the time. In fact, do you realize that every time that an angel appeared to an individual in the Bible, the first things out of his mouth was, do not be afraid? Do you realize that fear is a natural emotion? And fear is something that happens to us whenever we receive bad news. You know, if you go to the doctor and the doctor tells you you have terminal cancer, the first thing that grips you is fear. I mean, you're afraid you're going to die. You're afraid about your family, what's going to happen. You're afraid about here, afraid about there. The same way happens whenever you get a bill you cannot pay. You get afraid. Do you realize that a lot of people are motivated by fear? I mean, a lot of people are afraid to do a lot of stuff. And in fact, a lot of people are motivated by fear and they're proud of it. Many times, you know, I've heard many good Christian people said, I'm afraid of heights. I'm claustrophobic. That's afraid of being tight places. And claustrophobic people hate riding the elevator. Especially, I found that a lot of people that are claustrophobic are also afraid of heights. So riding the elevator to a high place bothers a lot of people. And no one likes riding an elevator with me if they're claustrophobic and stuff, because I bother the tar out of people when they're in the elevator if I know it's bothering them, because I can. And there's not a whole lot you can do about it because you're in an elevator. You know, what are you going to do, just get out? Now, some of you understand that my history is that I grew up traveling on the road and going to hotels, and a lot of times there wasn't much to do in hotels, so I learned to play in the elevator. And so I learned different tricks, like how to open an elevator between floors and all kinds of things. You know, those good things to do when your parents aren't watching you. You know, it's interesting. Not all, you know, there was only certain brands of elevators I know I could do that. I mean, and you figure it out, you know, you get used to traveling enough hotels, you go, oh, I know about this elevator, I know what I can do here, and stuff like that, you know. The secret was to stop an elevator without the alarm going off, and then, you know, and make sure it starts again though whenever you, because that's no fun. Because I did crawl out one time between floors. I had to crawl out to the next floor up because I couldn't get the elevator started again. So that was an interesting thing. Anyway, but the deal is, Christians, we say we're afraid of this, or I know you go to a theme park and they don't want to ride a roller coaster because they're afraid. Well, you know, and I understand, well, maybe that's kind of a silly thing because they don't have to ride a roller coaster. Now, you can tell me, hey, I just don't want to go up to that tall building, and that's okay, but don't tell me that you're afraid of something. Because, you know, if you're afraid of something, that's a weakness. We shouldn't be afraid of anything. There's nothing to be afraid of. Now, you know, there are some things we should be cautious of, but we shouldn't be afraid of things. Because, you know, sometimes people get all so afraid they won't even come out of their house anymore. You know, I know people that are afraid to send their kids to school because, you know, because there might be diseases or something like that in the school. I mean, they're afraid. People are motivated by fear all the time. Now, fear is the opposite of faith. So in order to get to a situation where we can believe, we have to get out of fear. Now, does that mean that you never have any fear? No, that means when fear comes, you have to do something about it. See, it's natural to have fear because that's a first reaction whenever you get the news. But you have to understand that when fear hits you, all of a sudden something should go off coming from the inside, say, only believe. Only believe. See, every time, it's just kind of like you should use fear as your motivation to believe. As soon as fear hits you, the Bible says to cast down imaginations. See, fear comes from your mind. And, are we spirit-led or mind-led? All right? It's not about our mind. It's about having the mind of Christ. Well, the only way to have a mind of Christ is to get what's down here, up here. Is to put your mind under. Because naturally, you're going to be afraid. I mean, that's natural emotion. I mean, I'm not trying to tell you can't have natural emotion. I'm trying to tell you, you have to learn how to deal with it. You have to learn how to deal with fear. Now, they tell you, if you're having a heart attack, the best thing you can do is have peace about it. Is don't get afraid, because if you start getting afraid, it's worse. So I know it's kind of hard if you're having a heart attack to not be afraid. But the thing about it is there's so many things. Like I said, there's Christians that are so gripped with fear that they're afraid of this or afraid of that. And I always said, if you're going to give the devil one piece of your life, then why not give the devil the whole piece of your life? You need to get over your fears. You need to get over your fears. You shouldn't be afraid of things. Now, I didn't say you had to go skydiving, okay? I didn't say you had to do some of these things. But to not be able to enjoy life, it's really hard in the day and age that we live in to be afraid to ever get on an elevator. Or to ever get in an airplane. If you want to travel. Now, but sometimes airplanes fall out of the sky. Yeah, but sometimes your car runs into a semi too. So, the deal is that the safest travel is air travel. And although when a plane goes down, 300 people die, more than 300 people died the same day in traffic accidents. Every day that happens. Now we hear about, planes crashing into things and planes going missing for a year and those kind of stuff like that. Nobody knows what happened to them. We hear about those things. And yes, it's sad that hundreds of people, passed away. But that same amount of people or more died today somewhere in the world in some other tragic accident. But we don't hear about all of those. The thing about it is, it's tragic those things happen, but don't be afraid. Now, also don't be foolish. I always tell everyone before I get on an airplane, if I feel I'm not supposed to be on the airplane, then I'm going to get off. If I have to miss a meeting, I'm going to miss a meeting. I don't care. I have to have peace about something I do, but I'm not afraid to fly. If I'm afraid to fly, it would really hamper what I do, But the devil will try to play tricks on you. And the deal is that first you have to get out of fear, then you can believe. Fear not, only believe. But it's interesting that he says only believe, because he's saying, Jesus was telling us that that's really your only choice. And it really is. Especially this situation, all he could do was either believe that the child was going to live or believe the child was going to die. There was only two choices. But he chose to believe what Jesus said. Now, here's the deal. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he's telling this person to only believe, then why would he be telling you only to believe? But first of all, he's telling you not to fear. Not to fear, just believe. Just believe. Now, what are we believing in? Well, according to Mark 11:22, it says to have faith in God. See, our faith is not in ourselves. Our faith is in God. And that's where a lot of Christians miss it. They try to put faith in themselves. You know, in fact, a lot of times whenever we're believing God, especially for a financial situation, we're trying to figure out how it's going to happen at the same time. How are you going to solve it? Well, if you're going to figure out how you're going to solve it, your faith is not in God. Now, if God gives you opportunities to work or do extra stuff, there's nothing wrong with that. But you shouldn't try to figure out how you're going to solve it. Trust God, and God will bring things to pass. All we have to do is believe. See, that's our choice. We have to believe. We have to believe in God, because God is the one that's going to make it happen. Not you. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is believe. You have the easy part. Mark 9:23 says it this way. He says to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now notice it starts out with a key word. It says if. If you can believe. That means you might not be able to believe. Well, why might not you be able to believe? Because you don't. You know, but Jesus told Jairus, he says only believe. But we have to believe, and you know, but there's a big if. It's up to you. If you can believe, it doesn't say if your pastor can believe. Notice it doesn't say if enough people can believe. You know, there are a lot of people that turn, you know, they're going through some tough times, and so they turn their prayer requests into every known ministry that they can find, or people that every prayer group. Nothing wrong with that, because you know it's good for having people to agree with you in prayer. But I found out a lot of times whenever they turn that prayer request in, they don't do anything. They're the only ones not believing for their prayer request to be met. Everybody else is believing, but they're not. See, you have to believe. You have a responsibility to believe. Because it's your situation. If you can believe, you know, or you can even say it when you believe, all things are possible to who? All things are possible to the person who believes. Okay, but you can also say it this. If you don't believe, nothing is possible to those who don't believe. The same thing, just backwards. But it's the same thing. If you don't believe, you can't expect to receive. You have to believe. Now, you don't have to, you have to believe that your God is able. We put our faith in our God. You know, we just were singing, we put our hope in God. We put our faith in God, not in your ability. See, many people want to put their faith in their own ability to meet their own need, or put their faith in the pastor's ability or somebody else's ability. But it's not, you put your faith not in your ability, but in God's ability. And I always say, if God can't do it, then I don't know who can. I don't know who can. See, our God can if you believe. Now, some people say, well, God should just do it for me anyway. No, you have not because you ask not. The Bible says, ask what you will and it shall be done. See, we have a choice. Because if God could do things for us without us asking, then he would make us all get saved. Why? Because, you know, but he didn't. He gave us a choice. In fact, you realize that God gave us a choice when we didn't even know we had one? Adam and Eve didn't know they had a choice. They didn't know. Because if they knew they had a choice, they could have made the right choice. You know, they didn't know that they had one until they ate from the tree of knowledge, and they knew they had a choice. And we were given a choice. We can accept Jesus, or we don't have to accept Jesus. But the Bible says we're a free moral agent. The only way I can think about it is a free agent in sports. I'm free to sign with the Yankees or sign with the Astros. Do I want to win a championship, or do I not want to win a championship? That's really what it comes down to, you know. I'm not picking on Houston or anything like that. I'm just saying that if I'm a free agent and I have a team, you know, such as the New York Yankees that have won a lot of World Series, then I would probably sign with someone like that. I wouldn't sign with the Cubs, you know, because, you know. Now, there is also the only way I might sign with others' team if they want to pay me more millions of dollars. In fact, I'll sign with anyone who paid me $1 million. I'll sign with the most losingest team in baseball, football, basketball, whatever, because I'm sure not going to help them. You know, but for $1 million, I'll sign with anybody. And that's on record. So, but someone's offered me $2 million, I'm not going to sign for $1 million, you know. Anyway, but the thing is, we're free to believe or not to believe. So really, I think about this. Do you want your need met or you don't want your need met? You have not because you ask not. Ask what you will and it shall be done. Well, you have to ask. You have to ask. And it's you that has to ask. If you can believe. Now, understand, we believe in God. Now, Luke 18:27, which, by the way, is my dad's favorite verse. If you sign your Bible, he wrote it in there. It says, the things which are impossible to men are possible with God. So if you can believe in God, all things are possible. So, you know, there are times when things that you would think, well, this isn't, it would be impossible for me to do that. But, yes, it's impossible for you to do that, but it's not impossible for God. I mean, I've heard people say, well, you can't believe for that. Why not? Why can I not believe? The Bible says, if I can believe, all things are possible. Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things that I desire or we desire. It doesn't say what things I need, what things I want. It says what things I desire. Whatever I desire, I can have if I believe. But if I don't believe, I'm not going to get it. Now, if I'm in fear, I can't be in faith. Because if I'm in fear, I'm thinking of you know, I'm not thinking that I have something. I'm thinking that it might not happen. Now, the best thing that ever happened to me was when I got a hold of the Webster's New World Dictionary and I read the definition of faith, and it says faith is an unquestioning belief. Because any time that I'm in faith, I'm not asking a question. I'm not asking, why God has it not happened? God, when's this going to happen? God, where are you in my storm? Who, what, where, why, when, how come? Those are all questions. If you're asking questions, you're not in faith. You're not in faith. It's an unquestioning belief. Faith is an unquestioning belief. Now, over in James chapter 1, most of you know it starts out, it says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And people say, well, it's not really joyful when you fall into a lot of trials and temptations and things like that. It doesn't say it's going to be joy. It says, count it all joy. Why can you count it joy? Because you know the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know what's on the inside of you. And you know that in spite of your situation, that God is still God. And that you can believe and that you shall receive, because all you have to do is only believe. So you don't have to get all upset. You can be joyful in the middle of the storm. Why? Because you know what to do. Now it goes on to say, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And it goes on to say, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it would be given to him. So it says, if you don't know what to do, ask God. And he's not only going to give you wisdom, he's going to give you more wisdom than you need. Now, understand that the same God that gives us wisdom will give us whatever we need. Whatever we need, all we have to do is ask. And he's going to give it to us liberally. Without reproach, meaning he's not going to make fun of you because you're not very smart. He's not going to make fun of you because you need help. He loves you, and he's going to give it to you. But there is something you have to, first of all, ask, and you have to, second of all, believe. But verse 6 says this, but let him ask in faith, and no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So, you know, when that verse says only believe, this verse says if you're believing one day and not believing the next day, so if you believe God today, tomorrow are questioning God, then you're not going to get your needs met. Because you're double-minded. Now, what happens is that when you believe, a lot of times fear will come in because it hadn't happened. But really, what happens is the devil is just doing his job. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he'll try to put thoughts in your mind. He'll try to tell you there's no way. It's impossible. But the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. All things are possible. Amen. If I can believe. See, the key is believe. And don't doubt. Well, how am I not going to doubt? Because if you believe God, if you know who your God is. You know, we say as a Christian that we have a relationship with our God. Well, if we do, then we know who our God is. We know what our God is able to do. So why do we get all upset whenever we're facing situations? Because really, we hold the key. All we have to do is believe. That's all we have to do is believe. Only believe. Because God is not a God that should lie. You understand, these are the scriptures I'm reading. Most of the scriptures are all scriptures that Jesus told us. Not over here in James, but back in the, I was reading from Mark and from John. And I mean, those are all scriptures that Jesus tells us. He tells us only to believe. All we have to do is believe. But a lot of people were believing one day, you know, and a lot, I see it all the time. People get a hold of it and they start believing for 3 or 4 days. And all of a sudden they don't get it in 3 or 4 days. Then they get mad. How come it hadn't happened? You're the same guy that goes to McDonald's, and if you haven't got your hamburger in 2 minutes, you're mad about it. My God, it's been 2 minutes. I don't have a hamburger yet. You guys are supposed to be fast food. I don't want the freshly cooked one. I want the one that's been under the heater for 2 hours. You guys should make up like extra hamburgers, and there should be a lot there so I can get a freshly uncooked hamburger and I can have fries that are stale because I want those kind of things. You know, man, you know, I would rather have a cooked hamburger. In fact, you know, they actually say that if you want to make sure you have a fresh hamburger, then go to a fast food place and tell them you don't want onions or don't want, take something off so they have to cook you a fresh one. You know, because they're not allowed to unwrap the hamburger, take your onions off, and put it back on there. Although I'm sure a few people probably do it, but they're not supposed to. So, you know, I'd rather have a fresh hamburger than one that's been sitting there. You know, but the thing about it is, all we have to do is believe. All we have to do is believe. Now, of course, I'm reading the scriptures most of you know, but Philippians 4:19, remember it says, and my God shall supply all you need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So it doesn't say that you're going to do anything. It says your God. Your God. All you have to do is believe in God. All you have to do is believe. Believe that your God is able. Your God shall supply all your needs. By his riches, you know, for riches and by Christ Jesus. So, you don't have to do anything but believe. I'm going to leave you off with one last scripture. One last scripture from John chapter 11. John chapter 11. This is verses 38 to 40. Most of us know that this is when Lazarus was laid in the tomb. And Jesus came, verse 38 says, and, you know, Jesus again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench. Or the King James says, by this time he stinketh. For he has been dead for 4 days. said, you know, I'm not going to take, if we roll the tomb away, it's going to stink. You know, and I don't want to smell that stench because this doesn't smell good. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? You would see the glory of God. If we believe, we're going to see the signs, the wonders, the miracles, the healings, but we have to believe. Only believe. There is no alternative. You know, that's one thing that Pastor Jill said there in Dubai. Says we have, you know, a couple times a week, you know, we have miracle healing services. And we see miraculous things happen because people come believing. And because they've seen the healings take place, when they come, they come with expectations. But we should come with expectations all the time. Because if we believe, we will see the glory of God in manifestation. You know, because God always performs his word. Now, you know, all we have to do is believe. Now, my grandfather always said that the Bible is God's word speaking to you. Bible is God's word speaking to me. So if God's word speaking to me tells me to believe and not fear, then that's all I have to do is believe and not fear. Don't be afraid. The Bible is really simple. You don't have to know Greek to know to learn the Bible. You don't have to learn Hebrew to learn the Bible. You can take God at his word. Jesus hasn't changed. When he told the ruler of the synagogue there to only believe, he's telling you to believe. But he's telling you, first of all, quit being afraid. Quit saying you can't do it. Quit saying that there's no way. Quit trying to figure out how it's going to happen. And just trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. Put all your ways in knowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Amen. The pressure is not on you, it's on God. All you have to do is believe. The thing that's keeping you from believing is your fear. It's your fear. Because your fear is what starts you doubting. Because you're afraid it's not going to happen. You're afraid of the consequences if it doesn't happen. But see, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is. When faith comes, it's always now. You know, Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things that we desire when we pray, that we believe that we have them, and we're going to have them when we pray. So if you already have something, see, faith is having something when you can't see it, you can't feel it, when you have something, why should you be afraid that you don't have it? It's like if I was holding my phone, and you know, and I've done this before. Have you ever been holding your phone or talking on your phone? And says, you know, and you're trying to leave, and you're like looking all over because you can't find your phone anywhere, and you're talking on your phone. Now, if you would have left, you would have had your phone, but you didn't realize you had your phone because you know. But when you have faith, you already have something. So if I have something, why am I afraid I'm not going to have something that I already have? See, if I believe that I have something, then how can I not have it? Well, the reason you don't have it is when you don't believe. So if you don't believe you have it, then you don't have it. So you either have it or you don't have it. It's either there or it's not there. You understand? Faith is having something. Now, you don't. Now, the thing is, you know, let's pretend that I have my phone. Well, I don't see no phone. But I have it there. Well, where is it? I have it by faith. I have it by faith. Well, I don't see it. Well, that's because you're looking with the natural eyes. Your eyes don't see it. But you know what? Jesus said, only believe. I don't care whenever he was going to go and he was going to see a dead child. But he said, only believe. Quit seeing what you see. And start believing what you know. Don't see what you... It's not about what I see with my own eyes. It's not about what I feel with my own body. It's about what I know with my own God. Because God is able. And God loves us so much. The Bible says that nothing or no thing can separate us from the love of God. So if nothing can separate us from the love of God, then and he loves us that much that no matter how bad that we've messed up, he's going to love us so much, he's still going to give it to us. See, people say, well, you know, I don't deserve to have any needs met or any wants met because look how bad I've been. But thank God, with God, it's not what you deserve because you don't deserve to be saved. But praise God, it's not what we deserve. It's what he gave us anyhow. With the Bible, we don't get what we deserve. We get what God wants to give us because he loves us that much. And all we have to do is believe. All we have to do is believe in him, trust in him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for everything that you're doing in our midst. And Father God, we just thank you right now for just ministering to us. But Father God, we thank you that they won't just remember sermons like this whenever they're here in church. But Father God, we thank you that the next time that they get some kind of bad news, the next time that they're going through a situation where it seems like there is no way out, we thank you, Father, that they'll remember the words of Jesus, do not fear, but only believe. Father God, help us to understand that we can believe and we can trust in the Lord with all our heart. We can trust in God, and we don't have to fear, but we can have full confidence and full faith in God, and you will perform it. Father God, we just thank you right now that if anyone is here tonight that does know their son, that knows Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, that they'll come back home. We just thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing. In Christ's name we pray, amen and amen. If you're here tonight, go ahead, guys, come on up here. If you're here tonight and you need salvation, you've never been saved, or you need a rededication, you want to rededicate yourself to the Lord, Or maybe you need prayer for anything, whether it be healing or whether it be some situations in your family, then we have a group of men and women here. If you're a man, go see the men. If you're a woman, go see the women. If you don't know what you are, ask an usher. They'll help you and they'll direct you. They're here to pray with you for whatever reason that you might have. Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand up. If you're a first-time visitor, I want you to go with the connection team. They're going to come and get you, and they're going to take you. They have a special gift for you, and just encourage you to come back. I said, Dad and Mom, they're out of town, but they'll be back on Sunday morning, on Mother's Day. Like I said, it's also Mother's Day is always my mom's birthday. Her birthday is actually the 13th, so it's actually not the same day as Mother's Day, but it's next week, and she's going to be 49. For the I don't know how many time I, I'll let her tell you her age because you know she probably don't want me to tell her, but she does have more gray hair than it looks because one time I was helping her color her hair one time and I'm like, Mom, I can't believe how much gray hair you have. Of course, you know, it doesn't matter. Everyone's been looking at me and going, Craig, I can't believe how much gray hair you have. And the reason I keep my beard short is because it keeps getting grayer and grayer and grayer. Amen. Well, praise God. Shake hands with someone. Say only believe, and we'll see you back here on Sunday morning.